Hello, this is Elena Merlis with Earth Connections. A friend of mine sent me some information about the Vizcaya Village Farmers Market, and as I perused the information, I came across the Urban Oasis Project and its executive director, Art Friedrich. Art makes locally grown food accessible by planting gardens for families all over Miami-Dade County, and he makes it more affordable in local farmers markets. With us today is Art Friedrich. Hi, Art, how are you?
Hi, Elena, very good. Glad to be here today.
Thank you, thank you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this project.
Sure, well, I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and yeah, me and my sister got interested in all kinds of activism when we were in high school, and especially food activism. We originally went vegetarian and then vegan after we heard Howard Lyman speak about mad cow disease in the 90s, if people remember that. Mm-hmm. I've been doing many different things, but with the passion of, creating social justice and creating a food movement that's accessible to everybody, because for a while in the 2000s, the food movement got really kind of off track and became a very niche and, was perceived as being for just white people and upper class people. And really, that's not the historical roots of the food movement, and it's not where it is today or mm-hmm. where it needs to be for sure.
Yeah, right. And how do you go about leveling the playing field?
A lot of education and a lot of just working with different communities where they're at. When I came to Miami 11 years ago, I was really astounded to find so little happening around local food and just so little availability. Very few farmers markets, and most of the ones I did find didn't even have local produce. And that's still a problem today.
Yeah.
That the farmers markets are often just the same rejected produce from Publix and other grocery stores put outside on a table, or they're just a food court without any actual farmers. And that's a give and take because of the history of agriculture in Miami-Dade, and that so much of the agriculture we do have is grown for export to the rest of the country or to other countries. I was actually trying to get out of nonprofit work when I moved here, but the need was just so great, and I met the right people, or maybe it was the wrong people, and so ended up founding Urban Oasis Project as a grassroots community organization, getting people together to build gardens with low-income families, mainly in Liberty City. We started a farmer's market. We did the first and only edible gardens sustainability tour in the summer of 2010, which consisted of all four community gardens that existed in Miami-Dade County at the time, which was just Roots in the City down in Overtown, the Victory Garden on South Beach, the North Beach Garden, and then over to Earth and Us Farm in Little Haiti. And it was just really surprising to see so few community gardens when I had just come from St. Louis, Missouri, where there was over 150 community gardens, and they had really strong support from places like the botanical gardens and from the city and the parks department itself. The botanical gardens would have advisors for these community gardens. The community gardens would be located on city properties. The city would facilitate water access for those properties, make it easy for communities to be able to turn an empty lot into a beautiful garden. And then also they could build their own gardens at home because the parks and the city departments would, at many local parks, have free mulch and free composted soil pickup spots that were just free and open. Anyone could come by anytime and fill up bags or buckets or wheelbarrows and take it home and build their own garden. So things like that were these real clear, examples of policies that governments and organizations can enact to support a local food movement that's accessible and that's affordable to everyone.
Right.
So when I got here and we started the farmers markets, one of the first inspirations was to work with Roots in the City in Overtown, which was growing a huge patch of collard greens and some other crops, and had invited a few other growers to sell at their little farmers market there and to accept SNAP benefits and to double the value of those benefits.
Can you explain what SNAP benefits are to our listeners, please?
Sure. That's what used to be called food stamps. Mm-hmm. So now it's called the Supplemental Nutrition Access Program. Mm-hmm. And the card that you get it is called an EBT card, Electronic Benefits Transfer. Mm-hmm. So that's why you sometimes see those thrown around interchangeably, but they are kind of different things. One is the program, one is the way you access it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see people of all different walks of life that use SNAP benefits, at least for some point of their life. It's a true social safety net program where many people cycle onto it at some point when they've lost a job or they have medical expenses or all kinds of other circumstances. Mm-hmm. And it keeps them able to eat healthy produce or at least be able to eat something, you know, in a time of need.
Right.
And so it's a really vital program, which we really saw a huge explosion of during the COVID pandemic with a lot of extra disaster SNAP benefits. And we've seen this after many of the hurricanes that have come through Florida. Like the number of people that have been temporarily displaced or temporarily out of a job, and they're able to get 3 or 6 months of disaster benefits. And so, you know, it takes one of the most basic things, having to worry and stress about how you're going to pay for a meal mm-hmm. and how you're going to continue to eat healthy so that you can do anything else, takes that out of the equation and just gives people one of these most basic rights that we should all have, which is to be able to eat every day and to eat healthy and not have to worry about it. So we've always centered promoting SNAP and also doubling the benefits of SNAP as the core part of what we do. So that SNAP doubling is through Feeding Florida now, and it's called Fresh Access Bucks. So for Florida produce, people can spend $20 on their SNAP card and get $40 worth of produce. So it really helps even that playing field and make good, healthy food accessible to everybody.
Right. I read that you do special boxes as well, like in the Project Maracuya.
Yes, we've been really excited about that program. So for many years, we've done different versions of this, or kind of a version of a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, mm-hmm. where you get kind of, you know, a farmer's pick of produce. So whatever's abundant, whatever's local, you know, and what's abundant is going to be cheapest usually. And so we can put that together in a box. So we've distributed those through fruit and vegetable prescription programs before with neighborhood health centers to give those boxes of fresh produce to people in great need. And then once the pandemic hit, we really saw this huge customer support. We had to close down all of our farmers markets and go to a completely online ordering and distribution model, which actually worked really well for us for a while. I mean, it was very stressful for us, our staff, and a huge change in the work that we were doing.
Yeah.
But you know, we're very grateful that we were able to keep working, that we were actually able to serve twice as many customers with free food, and then also let those customers, or with, you know, food in general that they were paying for, and then let those customers know that we also are prioritizing serving people who had no money, who had no resources, and who were going hungry in our community in Miami-Dade County. So we created Project Maracuya and our free food boxes for neighbors in need, and started distributing 40 $40 boxes per week ever since last May. And you know, our clients supported that and would throw in a donation of $20 or $100 every week, sometimes multiple of those every week. And so it became this wonderful community-driven, community-guided, and community-implemented program. We hired one director to reach out to a bunch of people that she knew were in great need. But then we also transitioned the program to where people could order a free box to give to a neighbor or someone that they knew in need. So any of our clients have the ability to order a free box to give away to someone. You know, and we'll follow up with them to ask them who it's for and give us an idea of, you know, why they're getting a free box for someone so that we can, you know, just measure our own impact. You know, and a lot of it has been seniors in their neighborhood, someone that they know on their block, someone who can't get out of the house to go shopping or was afraid to for a long time because of the high risk of COVID, or didn't have the money right now to be able to eat fresh fruits and vegetables, but really had a desire to cook with fresh foods. And part of our program too is that we always make sure that our farmers get paid, because farmers are always pretty much low-income folks as well.
Right.
So it's really important for us to make sure that farmers get paid for their produce. We get donations sometimes, but we rarely ask farmers for donations. They can offer us excess if they've really been a little bit too successful with their growing process. But, we want to keep our farmers fed too.
Right. So it's a win-win. It helps the farmers. It helps the people. It's great.
Last year with our SNAP doubling program, we distributed $64,000 worth of extra produce through that program. And that money almost entirely went to our local farmers here in Miami-Dade and Broward and in one big farm in Punta Gorda over by Fort Myers. So that's a really nice chunk of income, of revenue for these small farms, especially when matching that $64,000 was the $64,000 that customers actually spent on their actual SNAP cards. So instead of going to Walmart and spending all of their food stamp benefits to Walmart and all that money exiting our community immediately, it goes and circulates around our local farm and agriculture communities.
Right. Everybody always says there isn't much to eat here or grow in the summertime, but I grow all kinds of greens, and I'm fortunate enough to have a little piece of property in the back, and I've learned over the years that there are plenty of things that do grow here. What kind of things are distributed during the summer?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. We have run most of our markets all year round for the last 10 years, and we now run 4 different markets. So we're at Legion Park Farmers Market. We run the Vizcaya Village Farmers Market. We have a really nice little small market in South Miami that we're super excited to have brought back to the city of South Miami. And we're at the Market Mondays at the Arch Center on Monday nights. We see a lot of wonderful fruits all summer long, and that's part of why we want to really keep our markets open, because people need to eat all year round.
Right.
So we got mangoes and jackfruit, canistel, carambola, all kinds of different things, dragon fruit, longans, lychees. There's so many fun things in the summer. And as we've, really pushed through the summer so many years, and we've pushed our local farms to experiment more and to grow more the summer, we've seen that really increase. So one of our favorite farms, Aloha Redland, they're still growing and producing enough on a scale that we can, support our markets. Collard greens, dinosaur kale, even curly kale right now.
Kalaloo?
We've gotten some. Kalaloo is a wonderful crop for the summer, if you have the space for it. The bananas, papayas, of course, as well. We've been seeing basils, different herbs, of course. They can do okay. And then we've also seen some new farms like Imagine Farms, which used to be called Box Greens, but they're new techniques of hydroponic growing. Not something that most people can do at home, but they grow a ton of great salads, lettuces, watercress, different types of kind of light, loose baby greens that are very popular at the markets as well.
Do you teach people how to use things that they're not familiar with?
We do when we can. Most of it's informal at the markets as we're selling things, because we do have a lot of strange and interesting things like Malabar spinach and longevity spinach. We tell people, what they are, because we see people's eyes glaze over as they see a table full of greens that they have no idea what they are. And so, we try to recognize that and tell them what these things are, what's local, and give them some ideas on how to use them. And we publish a newsletter every week on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. that I really encourage everyone to sign up for. I'm really passionate about food justice in many forms and about local food. So every week I have a little blurb about some things that I'm thinking about, some things that I'm seeing that are going on in the space. you know, what crops are coming in locally, what farms they're from, with links to all those farms. Mm-hmm. A reminder that our online store is now open for ordering, and mm-hmm. all kinds of different partner events that we feel like are important for people to know about that are usually run by grassroots organizations, you know, people like Friends of the Everglades, the Audubon Society, you know, anyone that's reaching out, that's doing something that's environmentally friendly, hopefully a little bit food related, or climate related, because climate and food justice go hand in hand.
Yes.
And the climate change is really affecting our agriculture all over the country, but especially here in Florida. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the heat waves in the Northwest right now are destroying crops.
Yeah.
And they're destroying workers, putting workers at great risk for mm-hmm. having to work in, you know, these well over 100 degree conditions. And so we all need to address climate change for so many reasons, but
yes.
just for the simple reason of being able to continue to eat and to grow food is a big one.
Yeah. And where do we find that newsletter?
It's on our website at urbanoasisproject.org.
Great.
And you can just sign up right there. And also, if people want to reach out to me for submissions to the newsletter, just hit the contact us button and it goes right to me.
Okay. And if people want to get involved in doing like gifting gardens for donations, how do they do that?
Yes, that's wonderful. Thanks for asking. Our Give Gardens program has primarily been funded by clients. So it's a sliding scale program. This last year, we've built over 100 gardens for people at their homes. And we start people off usually with a 4-foot by 8-foot starter garden, because we don't want people to get overwhelmed.
Right.
And we want to like have a chance to just work with them, educate them, and give them something that's very accessible and very manageable.
Right.
So a lot of the folks that we build them for don't have the financial resources to pay for their own. And then some people that do give a donation, we ask for $150 pays for their own garden, $300 pays for their garden and buys someone else a garden as well. So there's a donate button on our website. Also look out for us on Give Miami Day. That's our big end of the year in November, citywide, countywide giving spree run by the Miami Foundation. We've been very successful in the past few years of getting a lot of folks to support that Give Garden program on Give Miami Day. And people can also request their own gardens and or just reach out to us with their questions if they just have questions and need some advice.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Anyway, I want to thank you so much. You're so deeply committed to helping people improve their lives by improving the food system. And what better way than giving them good, healthy, clean food? I appreciate what you're doing and all the work you put into this. You've been doing this for about 11 years now, I read. Is it more?
11 years now. So yeah. Used to saying 10, but it's clicked another one.
Time is going. Time is going. Anyway, I appreciate your time, and I'm hoping that our listeners will reach out to you and make donations. And if they need your help, let you know. And just continue doing what you do. I appreciate it.
For sure. Thank you so much. It's really my pleasure. And again, I hope people can sign up for the newsletter on our website, urbanoasisproject.org, and also to check out our online store, which is open on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and come see us at the farmer's market. That's the best thing to do. Just come meet us, talk to us, say hi, find out what kind of local produce we've got going on the tables, and take some nice things home. Support your local economy, your local farmers, and your local food vendors.
Yes.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.